The following is a presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.
This is Duck Insider
on the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
25, 20,
how about
10,
the straighter?
He will score!
Royce Freeman
got some speed.
They will not get it!
He makes the grab.
Yes.
What a bullet throw!
Sir.
What a bullet throw from Hurts!
Love it!
Welcome to Duck Insider on the Oregon IMG Sports Network, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Time now for your daily dose of Oregon athletics. Here's your host, Joey Mack.
Fourth down and two, looking for a touchdown. Herbert fakes the snap, now takes it. Throws to the right, tipped in the air, intercepted in the end zone by Apelu. He'll run it out to the 10, the 20, some space. Herbert, the only man that's going to catch him. Across the 50, up to the 30. Apelu cuts back, looking for the goal line. He will score. Kaulata Apelu gives the defense a touchdown that today is worth 10.
Welcome to the show.
Woohoo!
A good way to welcome you to Duck Insider on a Monday after the spring game. That was from our broadcast on the Oregon IMG Sports Network. I got to have some fun with Apelu. Almost got stripped at the goal line there, by the way, and Justin Herbert was the only guy that was going to get him. And a couple of the Ducks, even after the game, the defenders were asked, hey, did you think about lighting up your quarterback and blocking him and just getting in his way? And the Duck defense had a little bit of fun with that. A fun broadcast and a fun day, a nice day at Autzen Stadium. We'll recap the spring game in, well, really, full entirety for the next week or so. We've got so many post-game interviews with Coach Cristobal, tons of Oregon student-athletes. We won't even be able to get to all of them today. So stick with us throughout the week as we'll look back on the spring for Oregon football and start to preview the fall that will be here before you know it. That was, though, probably the play of the game. Kaulata Apelu with that interception return touchdown. Your Facebook comments and questions over the course of the show today. What did you think of the spring game? Those of you that were in attendance, what'd you like? Those of you that watched and listened, what'd you like? The fall really is right around the corner, as Karen points out. And I think Alex makes a good point. I liked our defensive presence in the spring game. They cut down on penalties. They could be dominant up front. I think that's a good point. I think it's true. And, you know, discipline was certainly a focus of Mario Cristobal here in the springtime. The Ducks, I thought, cut down the penalties certainly more than last year, but they still want that discipline that they had been searching for the entirety of the year. Well, the offense won 59-34. The defensive players weren't exactly stoked on the scoring system. But Kaulata Apelu, that's got to be the only 10-point touchdown that he's ever scored in his entire career. And that was cool to see him back out there after being injured a lot of last year. It was nice to see him make plays. Not just that one. I called his name a lot on Saturday. I really felt like he was making plays, hitting gaps hard from that inside linebacker position. I think having him back along with Troy Dye is going to be huge for the Ducks moving forward. Alex liked the weather. It was awesome. I'm in for that as well. Any issues getting up the road for baseball coverage? Tammy asking, yeah, it is. We were joking, at least I was on Twitter and on the broadcast, that I had to, after the spring game wrapped up, hop in the car, drive up to Corvallis for Oregon baseball in the Civil War. Got up there pretty quick, actually. I actually did go I-5. I snuck through Springfield and then over near the Beltline, got up onto I-5, and I went that way, no problem at all. So I appreciate everybody giving me the advice on beating the traffic. I'm usually like the last one to leave the press box on a game day, so beating the traffic, I'm not good at that, and that's why I asked for a little bit of help on that one. Cindy, this is a great point, too. Four really fun days at the Jane. Beating Oklahoma, then sweeping Stanford for Oregon softball. We'll recap their weekend coming up in a little while as they've got number one Washington on the horizon this coming weekend. That's a huge, huge matchup. Steve, definite progress for Oregon spring football. I'm with you. I think that you saw some good things. I think you saw a team that's pretty well-rounded. You know, C.J. Verdell did a nice job out of the backfield. A ton of Ducks really did a nice job out of the backfield. Daywood Davis, certainly an impressive performance with his two touchdowns. I thought Hunter Campmoyer showed fans a little bit of what he's shown in practice in the first 14 practices of the spring. The transition to tight end was, I think, a great move for Hunter Campmoyer and this coaching staff. He looks the part as a tight end. Pretty good hands for a guy that's been a defensive lineman for the Ducks. I think that it's really, really important for Oregon, though, to continue to develop depth at a few key positions. We'll talk about that. More of your Facebook comments and questions coming up. The other individual performances in the spring game, Justin Herbert, 12 for 21. Not a terribly efficient passing day for a guy who was well over 60%, closer to 70% in completion percentage a year ago. Justin Herbert, I thought, one, it showed that the defense, I think, has come a long way. But two, he still made some impressive plays. 126 yards through the air for Herbert. A touchdown and that one interception that you heard from Kalani Opelu to start the show today. Braxton Burmeister, I thought, looked like a much more confident player in the spring game this year than he did all of last season. 7 for 12 for Braxton Burmeister. 64 yards and a touchdown. A rating of 130.6. And for Tyler Shuck, you know, you're going to look at his numbers and go, wow, what a game. 5 for 8, 103 yards, two touchdowns, a 253.2 rating. And a couple of those touchdown passes, I think his wide receivers definitely helped him out. Both of the touchdown passes, I think his wide receivers definitely helped him out. But he certainly looked the part, didn't he? He certainly looked the part. And I think the Braxton Burmeister, Tyler Shuck debate is one that we're going to be having all throughout the fall. I don't foresee that ending until maybe the first game, maybe even into the season. That's how long we're going to be having this debate with the backup quarterbacks. 503 total yards, 307 total through the air, 196 on the ground for the Oregon offense against the Oregon defense that did muster six sacks. And remember, it's one of those. This is one of those things that always kind of favors the offense, I think, in spring games. You can blow a play dead, and I think it favors the offense. You can argue with me if you want, but I think it favors the offense, and so you're going to see some of those big yardage numbers. But the receiving, as we stick on that, on the passing game, Daywood Davis had three catches for 75 yards and two touchdowns. One of them made a nice catch on the sideline and then bolted up that far sideline on the right side of the formation. Daywood Davis, I think, is the guy. There's always one or two guys every year that you go, wow, yeah, that's he's going to be a player just from what he did in the spring game. And I think Daywood Davis, though, he's been like that all spring. That I think it gives you the Ducks another legitimate receiver on the outside, especially with Johnny Johnson. He only had one catch in the spring game, but I think we all know what Johnny Johnson is capable of. Brendan Schooler, only two catches for 16 yards, but he's a guy that I think has gotten better and better, particularly with route running. This was pretty awesome, too, when Jack Vecchi, the walk-on from Portland, Oregon, caught that bullet of a post pattern from Braxton Burmeister. That had to be a cool feeling for him, one of a couple grabs, and he got a touchdown out of it. Cyrus Abibilikio scored a touchdown on that wheel route out of the backfield. I thought that he really showed some athleticism on that play, just getting upfield, good hands from a running back out of that spot. I think he's a guy that, as a bigger running back, we'll get to the running backs in a moment, can really help Oregon. He's a taller guy, competitor for sure. Dylan Mitchell, three catches for 31 yards, and Jalen Redd, three catches for 22 yards. Also a few end-arounds for Jalen Redd. Overall, I think that you saw with this Oregon offense what you'd expect. Now, that being said, we had been talking about the pistol and the implementation of the pistol with a running back standing right behind the quarterback. I think that what the pistol does is it takes a lot of the best characteristics of the spread, but you don't necessarily tip your hand with a running back to either side. You don't have to run a counter, and I think it makes the defense, as Jim Mastro said, kind of tip their hand a little bit, and it might be advantage offense. I'm curious to see what Oregon does with that pistol offense. I really liked it, having a running back right behind your quarterback. A little old school, but with the way things are now, I think that that works because you're going so quick. You don't want defenses to get set. You don't want to tip the defense as to what you're doing, and I think the pistol helps with that. And I saw that on display in the spring game, and I'm curious to see how that offense philosophy continues to develop. I see a lot of you commenting that Tyler Shuck showed the bright side. I think he definitely did. And I think that the Ducks have a good one in his right arm. The battle between him and Burmeister is going to be interesting over the summer and into the fall. In terms of the running backs, I thought C.J. Verdell did some really nice things. He is a bowling ball with the way he gets downfield quickly. He just runs with a full head of steam. Did that a few times, scored a couple of touchdowns on 8 carries and 44 yards. Jalen Redd, I mentioned those end arounds that he took a lot of, 4 carries, 32 yards. Jamal Elliott, I think that he'd tell you he probably ran for a few more yards than just 31 on 4 carries because they did have that one long one come back that they blowed it dead. And, you know, I don't know. It kind of favors the offense. Maybe that was a situation where it favored the defense because he had some space. And I think that that's one where you'd like them to be tackling, right? Because it happened in the second half. Ducks were just thudding up in the second half. So he could have stiff arm, could have made a little move, who knows. But I thought Jamal Elliott on that run showed a little bit of explosiveness for sure. Travis Dye, 5 carries for just 12 yards. And Taj Griffin, 4 carries for 10 yards, 2 carries for 7 yards for Cyrus Abibilikio. Ducks didn't use Tony Brooks-James a ton, just a couple carries for him. We'll hear from him coming up, if not today, later on this week, as we recap the Oregon football spring game. You know, I really did think, too, with the defense versus offense, it's always tough when you've got the defenders and, let me put it this way, it's always tough when you have a scoring system that doesn't necessarily favor the defense, as we'll talk about a little bit more, but I thought Apelu certainly looked the part. He had a half of a tackle for loss, an interception, 9 total tackles for Kalana Apelu, and, you know, I really thought Keith Sims, too, he showed what we've kind of been talking about, and many of you have heard from players and coaches that Keith Sims really fits the bill of what the Ducks are looking for. He seems to have continued to practice better and better. He was the second leading tackler for the defense with 8. Fotu Liato did a really nice job getting into the backfield and getting into the quarterback. He had 3 sacks in the game coming off the edge, and I get it. He was against the second team line more often than not. I saw him come around Cody Shear a few times at the right tackle position, but Liato, you know, 5 tackles and 3 of them are sacks. With his speed, I think that he can really add something to that outside linebacker position, playing a true outside linebacker, not just that what they call the duck position for this Oregon team. Other leading tacklers were Billy Gibson and Troy Dye with 5, Lamar Winston, Isaac Slade-Mateutia had 4, Bryson Young had 4 as well. A lot of Ducks got involved, and I really felt like the defense did a nice job, even if the final score didn't show that. And more on that, because Rob Mosley, I thought this was a great thing to point out. I saw him point this out, that in 2017, the offense averaged 6.1 yards per play. The defense gave up 5.1 yards per play. Okay? Now, bear with me. In the spring game, it was 5.3 yards per play. So I think the defense kind of won that battle. They were closer to their last year's total, whereas the offense was a little further off. Yards per carry, only 3.8 yards per carry in the spring game. Last year, the offense averaged 5.2, and the defense gave up 3.5. Again, probably favoring the defense in that particular statistic. Yards per pass attempt, 7.94 a year ago for the Oregon offense. Defense gave up 6.73. Today, it was an even 7.0, or in the spring game, I should say, it was an even 7.0. I love that Rob broke it down that way. I thought that on Twitter, at Duck Football, Rob Mosley, that really showed you, I think, how balanced, as he put it, the spring game was. And particularly, maybe this is the most important factor, third down percentage. The offense last year converted at a 41% rate. Defense only allowed the opposition to convert at a 33.3 rate. In the spring game, it was 36.8%. The point I'm making with all those numbers that are split, if you will, is that it was a pretty balanced scrimmage, and I think you saw highlights on both sides. Defense forced a few 3 and outs. Offense went on some long drives. Overall, I thought it was a solid performance all around from the Ducks for their spring game, with the Thunder Green offense beating the Lightning Yellow defense, a tally of 59-34. I do want to point out, too, honoring the military is always a really, really special piece to the Oregon football spring game. The F-15 flyover was outstanding. The Coast Guard helicopter flyover was outstanding at halftime. And Mario Cristobal with some very personal thoughts on that we'll get to coming up in just a little while. Your thoughts heading into the fall? I think it's a big question. What's the expectation now for this team? They're heading into summer conditioning and summer workouts, and then they'll be back for fall camp before you know it. But what's the expectation? Flyover. Well done, Randy.
Thank you.
Helicopter for the flyover. It was a little louder than that when they flew over Autzen. But it was an outstanding moment, and I just thought that it was a really, really well done event by Oregon Athletics, the football program, and of course all the servicemen and women that were in attendance. That was cool to honor them, and definitely something that they deserve. Coming up, we'll hear from Coach Cristobal, his thoughts after the Oregon football spring game. Positives, negatives, what Coach Cristobal think? We'll take more of your Facebook comments and questions, your thoughts on expectations heading into next fall for Oregon football. I'm Joey Mack, Mario Cristobal. We'll hear from him next on the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
This is Joel Block for The Law and You with Eugene attorney Don Corson. Don, you recently won a case against an insurance company for improper practices after an auto accident. What happened?
We represented a man who bought auto insurance to protect his family. When he got in an accident, his insurance company refused to settle, and he was sued. There was a substantial judgment against him. His insurance company's lawyers encouraged him to take bankruptcy. That's just plain wrong. We were asked to help the man and filed a lawsuit against his insurance company for its unacceptable practices. When the jury heard the facts, they strongly penalized the insurance company for its misconduct. Most cases like this are never prosecuted because insurance companies are exempt from Oregon's unfair trade practices law. Until this law changes, insurance companies sometimes can take advantage of their Oregon policyholders.
Thanks, Don. For more on your rights with insurance companies, visit the law firm of Corson & Johnson at CorsonJohnsonLaw.com. The Law and You is a community service and does not replace the advice of an attorney.
This is Duck Insider from IMG, America's home for college sports.
Movies like Contagion are fiction, but disease outbreaks can and do happen. Early detection allows public health officials at the state, local, and federal levels to manage and reduce the spread and impact of a contagious disease. CDC stands ready to respond. Our scientists work 24/7 to address current and potential health threats. For more information about CDC's work or how you can stay healthy, visit www.cdc.gov.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. I'm Joey Mack. We'll recap the full weekend of Oregon Athletics coming up in your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill. A lot of good things. Softball getting some key wins, and for the golf teams, they're in action at the Pac-12 Championships this week. We'll tell you more about that. Also, the postseason gets rolling for women's lacrosse this week as well. Track and field with a busy weekend. Full recap for that on GoDucks.com. Didn't work out the way we planned for Oregon baseball in the Civil War against Corvallis. We'll talk more about that. And I do want to mention the St. Baldrick's Bald Fest. It was outstanding, the event that Caitlin Wong and Oregon Soccer put on Sunday. I was fortunate to MC the event at Pape Field. It was awesome. The championship game in the tournament that they played with a couple different Duck teams and alumni team, Portland State coming down as well, they went to penalty kicks for the championship game, and the Oregon Green team beat the alumni in extra penalty kicks, and it was awesome. Raised nearly $40,000 for the St. Baldrick's Foundation. Thanks to everyone who donated and fans who helped out, because that means a lot. St. Baldrick's Foundation, all about funding childhood cancer research, and what a job. In 2 years, nearly $80,000 raised for the St. Baldrick's Foundation. Caitlin Wong and Oregon Soccer, a tip of the cap to them. They did an outstanding, outstanding job over the weekend. Also, we'll talk more about this, but women's basketball, a few Ducks won the USA 3-on-3 tournament. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little while in your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill. As we continue recapping Oregon football in the spring game, Coach Cristobal met with the media for over 20 minutes post-game. His thoughts on all things Oregon football and heading into the summer and what the schedule is going to look like next, and his thoughts on the good and bad in the spring game. Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, meeting with the media.
Was there a more entertaining play than watching Lana run that thing back 100-plus? How many times did he zigzag? I thought he went forever right there. Looked like he was running a gasser up and down the field. But I thought what we wanted to see is what we got to see. We wanted to see guys compete. We wanted to see guys have drill transition. All the stuff we've been working on this spring, we wanted to see it come into play today. We wanted to see the offensive line try to knock back the defense and vice versa. And we saw a lot of that on both sides. And we also kept it simple so guys knew exactly what they were doing. And we got a chance to see who can actually do it, who can actually help us win football games, who needs to develop, what can we do well, what guys need work on. Overall, just we're pleased with progress. And at the same time, knowing that there are several things that we have to continue to work on. You know, the ball came, obviously we had that turnover down there in the red zone, and that thing hurt. We got extensive work in the special teams department, and at the end we just went to a running clock because we were on our way to about 140 plays, so we cut that thing like we needed to. But overall, a very productive spring.
Coach, we were exposed to a lot of the young guys on your team today. Without even looking at film, any of them stand out and you go, wow, that guy's going to play?
I think you said it right. There's a lot of them. And I'll start on defense with Isaac Slade. I mean, that guy is a really good football player. He's going to help us win a lot of football games around here. Physical guy, instinctive guy. I look on the other side of the ball. It's, how about Daywood? You know, Davis, nice to see him. We always knew he had that track speed, and he showed it today. And all the running backs. You know, we gave TBJ and Taj the first couple sets with the ones. Then we want to see some of the other guys run, and they all did a really good job. C.J. Verdell continues to show that he was such a highly recruited football player. I mean, he gets downhill in a hurry, and he's got a low center of gravity, and his vision is excellent. He was very productive today. It was good to see both quarterbacks make plays today, both Braxton and Tyler. Certainly got the ball out, got it out quick, got it out on time, was accurate. They were both accurate with the football. And it was, again, Alex Forsyth. I could go right down the line. Travis Dye, Jamal Elliott had a big, big run that he was all upset because we blew it dead, but we wanted to keep playing or whatnot. But he's a good football player. And Darren Felix also continues to show why he was such a highly recruited guy. He's a guy that's going to help us win football games also. So the tight end position is one I really like to emphasize as a point of progress for our football team. Those guys really found a way this spring to work at some of the deficiencies in the run game as well as the pass game, and they had themselves a really good spring. And we're counting on those guys.
At what point this spring did you feel like that Kalana was back kind of 100% from missing last year? And then just in addition to the interception, I think he led you guys in tackles today, had a couple for a loss.
I mean, that's Lana, right? Probably 2 weeks ago is when he really started getting into his groove. And Lana's instinctive, and Lana's a great leader. He just has a nose for the football. And he don't let his stature mislead you. He hits, and he hits hard, and he knocks guys back. Our guys rally around him. They really feel that he's one of those guys that could kind of change the momentum in our favor, make plays, really smart, line us up the right way, be a leader on and off the football field. So whenever a guy like that does well, it just inspires the entire team. He did so. It was great to see him make that play today.
Now that the spring session is in the books, did you have one big goal for your team this spring, and do you feel like they got close to achieving that goal?
Oh, we had a couple, and a couple of them were limiting penalties. We had a couple today. I believe we had almost 100 plays, and I believe it was about 4 penalties, which is entirely too much. We don't want to have more than one penalty every 40 plays. That was a big goal. Ball security was another one. We have improved in that, even though one did pop loose. We did not cough one up in the running game, I don't believe, unless I'm missing something. The other part was we wanted to make sure that our culture got a whole lot better, and by that I mean that we were going to demand of ourselves. We were going to teach as coaches. We were going to push and challenge as coaches and mentor. But we were going to demand more of ourselves as an entire program. Guys held themselves to it, and it showed. And it showed in their daily progress. It showed in our scrimmage last week and the one in Portland. And today, it really showed with some guys stepping up and showing that they're going to be accountable football players and that it's their time. I mean, when guys graduate, guys leave and move on, It is nothing but opportunity. It needs to be viewed as such, and our team is doing that. The locker room has taken much more ownership of the program. That's a good thing to see.
In spring games, we typically make big deals out of one performance out of 15. So, but understanding how well your quarterbacks played, how much does this reflect what they did in the other 14 practices?
It's indicative of what they've been doing. They've done a great job. Coach Arroyo really is, he's a detailed guy. He demands a lot of those guys. There's not much fluff in how he presents our playbook and how to execute it. He's a big what to do, how to do it, and why we do it that way type of guy. So our quarterbacks will tell you the ins and outs out of all our schemes. They've mastered the run game and are really close to mastering protections as well. They know who's a free hitter. They know who's a hot guy. They know when to get rid of the ball, how to get rid of it, who it goes to. The quarterbacks continue to push, and they're pushing each other. That's the best part. There is no settling by Justin saying, hey, I'm the guy, and I'm just going to coast into this thing. It's the opposite. I promise you, he's in there saying, I should have made another 10 plays. That's the kind of competitor he is, and that's what we want to continue to breed and nurture here at the University of Oregon. It's going to make us a better ball club.
Mario, the fact that Justin didn't light it up today, is that maybe a sign that the defense is more competitive?
I think it's a sign of everybody's more competitive, and he wanted to call some things that we are not going to call in the spring game. I think the defense continues to get better. Jordan Scott is a guy that is so unheralded, and maybe he's not. I know he received those accolades as being a freshman All-American, but when you have a guy that size that moves that well and can control the A-gaps and knock back a center, it changes what you're able to do. And you cannot underestimate the advancement, the progress of guys like D'Amador and guys like Thomas Graham and guys like McGraw. I mean, these guys have turned it up. They know it's their time. They know that they're the ones now that have to lead the charge. And it's not just Ugo, even though Ugo, who has to be mentioned, has done another. He's done a spectacular job because he's moved around. We've played him at corner, at nickel, at safety. He's done it all. And he needs to be prepared to do that. And he needs to be prepared to teach the guys the system in the summer.
Coach, we saw the spring game tradition, boy, maybe within the last 10 years of saluting to the service. We saw the two great flyovers. You got the colors presented to you at the midfield. Why important do you continue that tradition?
Are you kidding?
No. What's your background with that and just to keep it going?
Yeah, well, current background is my father-in-law is a retired colonel in the Army, and my brother-in-law is a Special Forces commander, lieutenant colonel, on his probably coming up on a, well, I guess we're not supposed to talk about those kind of missions and whatnot and their ranks, but the military is the most unselfish service units and that you could ever imagine. I mean, the freedom that we have and all the things that we take for granted every single day, a lot of it's due to their battles and their sacrifices and what they compromise. So I know it's been a tradition here for a long time. I was blown away when I saw it last year for the first time in person. I mean, absolutely blown away to take part in that today, to receive that flag at midfield like that. That'll hit you hard. It's an emotional moment, you know. It's a big-time thing for us. It really is.
Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, and you hear there a little bit of why it was so important for Coach Cristobal to continue the salute to the servicemen and women here in the Oregon football spring game. I thought that was cool that he talked a lot about that and certainly gives you a little extra context as to what it meant to him to receive that flag at halftime that was presented to him. That's awesome. Coming up, we'll hear more from the Oregon football head coach and look back at the rest of the weekend in Oregon athletics, including a few things that you may have missed with the spring game going on, softball in town. There are a few other pretty cool things that happened for the Ducks over the weekend, not just in Oregon and other Pac-12 competition or NCAA competition. How about a 3-on-3 basketball tournament? We'll tell you a little bit more about that coming up and hear from the Oregon football head coach more. Mario Cristobal on the other side of this break on the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
Western bacon cheeseburger cheese. Bacon, Western bacon cheeseburger. I'm talking Carl's Jr. Pick it up. Western bacon cheeseburger. Carl's Jr. Pick it up. Western bacon cheeseburger, cheese bacon, Western bacon cheeseburger, Carl's Jr. Pick it up.
It's starting early and staying late, working hard and helping out, giving your all for your team and your community. And just like the Oregon Ducks, On Point does everything we can to help our team win. Giving local people and local businesses the banking and lending solutions they need to get ahead. We're On Point Community Credit Union, a proud sponsor of University of Oregon Athletics. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
Hi, I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
Hi, I'm Kathy Rigby, and I love portraying Peter Pan on the stage. But there are many children who are facing the reality of life-threatening illnesses every day. Discovery Arts helps children undergoing cancer treatment step outside of their illness and into a world of imagination by bringing them music, dance, and arts adventures while they're in the hospital. For $15 a month, you can become a Discovery Arts partner and bring art adventures to a child facing the unimaginable. Visit DiscoveryArts.org today for more information.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're live here in the Duck Store today, where you purchase support the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Oregon. More coming up, talking Oregon football, recapping the spring game, and everything else that happened in Oregon athletics. So, busy show today. Part two of the press conference with Mario Cristobal after the Oregon football spring game. Saw some good things from both the offense and the defense. Coach Cristobal talking in more detail about his thoughts on the spring as a whole and the individual game on Saturday.
Seems like of the guys you've mentioned by name, maybe a half or two-thirds have been class of 2017 guys. Mm-hmm. You had a bunch that started for you as true freshmen last year, mm-hmm. CJ, Daywood. Have you had the sense that you guys really hit with that group and that they've made a quick impact?
You know what? They've been impactful. I think Alex Forsythe gets lost in the shuffle as well now. Alex is a five-position guy. Alex very well is in the mix to be a starter here. On the offensive line. So he's a guy that I didn't mention. I should have. And I also didn't mention, besides, I know I'm going on a tangent here, but I didn't mention guys like Jake Breland. I didn't mention guys like Cam McCormick. The transition, you know, being made by a guy like Camp Moyer. I mean, these guys played physical. They really took that next step as a physical group of guys. And we need that. We need guys that can knock back the C gap, that control the C area, guys that can run routes, stretch the field, be good in the intermediate passing game. Guys that understand the quick game and leverage. We run tempo, so those guys have to learn to be a slot receiver, a Z, an X, how to line up as a tailback, how to reload from all kinds of different formations, what to do with the balls in the middle of the field, and you don't know whether to go right or left. I mean, these guys are almost like traffic cops. They gotta be able to direct, situate themselves, and a line to execute. They've done it. They've taken a major step, and they've appreciated and enjoyed the physicality of the stuff we're doing in practice. And I know you guys don't get to stay around for that part of practice when we start going 7-on-7 and team run and those kind of things. That's where we have made the biggest advances, in getting our feet in the ground, playing with a flat back and playing with good pad level, getting our hands inside and playing with better technique and moving the line of scrimmage both ways. That's where we've made the biggest advancements. And I think the timing of our passing game also has done so. But the defense did a great job today with the passing game and making sure they were disrupting our routes and playing a lot of good man coverage.
Coach, in your experience, what is the key to transferring good momentum in the spring into the off-season summer workouts?
We just said it in there. We keep preaching that culture never, ever rests. And culture is something that we have taken to and have developed an affinity for. We talk about it daily. That's not enough. We have guest speakers coming pretty often, and that's not enough. We've got to practice it. I can't leave them for a second. The O can never come off. It's our brand, right? It can never come off the heart, the chest, however you want to refer to it. You know, we're ambassadors of this program, and we've made a decision. We've made a decision to make sure that we honor the past by doing better in present day, in every sense of the word. And part of that, of course, a big part of it, is doing it on the football field. That's a big responsibility, and 132 teams, we're doing that this spring. So what's going to separate us? The way we approach it, the detail that goes with it, the sacrifices we're willing to make, and what we're willing to tolerate. So it's not a complex formula. It is one that demands a lot of you. And if you're okay with those demands, you can go really far. And our guys know that. They understand that. They want to honor the guys that came before them. They want to honor and uphold the legacy of what it is to be, you know, a man of Oregon and men of Oregon. So we've chosen it. So let's go find out.
Yeah, Coach, you kind of know what you have in Justin, you know, star quarterback type. You're working on the line of scrimmage, big boys, getting stronger. Mm-hmm. Defense is getting better still. What do you have in your backup quarterbacks? Can you obviously that was sort of an issue last year.
Yeah.
Can you talk about each of those guys, Tyler and Braxton, and after 15 practices, what do you think you have with Tyler? What do you think you have with Braxton?
Well, there is certainly, it's going to be an interesting competition because they both showed, and they showed it today, that they both can be real good football players for us here. They can hit the deep ball. They're good with their feet. They've got great escapability, pocket presence. They know how to not only manage the offense, they know how to run the offense. They can make explosive plays. They can both make most of the throws, just about every throw in our offense right now. By the end of the summer, we expect them to be able to make every throw in the offense. They are working their way to mastering the protection side of it, which is critical, right? You've got to know who your blockers are, who they're blocking, and when you don't have one, because it changes what you have to do with the ball and with the protection. They've got the right mentality. They're competing, and they know that it cannot be handed to them. And they've also, the best part about their approach, they haven't just sat back and said, okay, well, Justin's a guy, let's go compete for number two. It's never been mentioned. It's never been brought up. They have to be the best player they could possibly be. And that's the only way we're going to be able to continually be successful, because injuries are going to happen, right? And we can never, ever enter a panic mode when a guy goes down, regardless of how good that player is. The other part is, yeah, I know it was tough when Justin went down last year. We got to do a better job as coaches. Okay, you have what you have, and when a guy goes down, I know it's hard, and we see it in the NFL and in college football, and I totally get it. But being that that's the case, we have to do a better job having a plan of when things don't go exactly that way. Hey, let's be part of the solution instead of part of the problem, right? So where the coaches are doing the exact same thing we're demanding of the players. We're not going to demand one of one side and out of the other. This culture thing is, you know, and encompasses the entire program. And quite honestly, it's an awesome feeling. It really is. I mentioned this to my wife last night. I go, God, I love this team. And I love the approach and the mentality. And I know our kids are 8 and 6, but they better get good at football so they could come here one day. You know what I mean? So but that's a little ways away, and that they got to gain a lot of weight. But how did you guys enjoy it out there today? You guys have a good time?
Yeah.
All right. All right. There were some big plays made. And leaving this game with a positive performance and experience is worth a ton, because it validates all the hard work and everything we have demanded of each other. And that will carry over into the summer. And our schedule, again, it starts and it doesn't stop for a while. You know, our bye weeks are scheduled kind of where there is a 4-game or a 5-game deal, and then you're able to have. But it really is unrelenting, and we have to prepare for that. And to be relevant in October, November, you better be good in January the year before, right? And you better carry that through spring ball, and you better have a great summer, because that's when it's going to show in October and November.
Good stuff from Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, meeting with the media. He is obviously very articulate, very focused on what he hopes will be a good season for the Ducks. But as he said, it all starts now in the offseason and heading into next year. We'll talk more about that coming up. Take a look back at what else happened in Oregon athletics. Your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill is coming up. We will dive into a lot of fun stuff, actually, and it's a busy schedule on the calendar for the Ducks this week. We'll talk about that. Also going to hear from a couple of the student-athletes. Probably get to C.J. Verdell, Daywood Davis, Kalana Apelu talking about his big interception return in the spring game. Stick with us. More Duck Insider coming up here on the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
This is Joel Block for The Law and You with Eugene attorney Laura Johnson. Laura, I understand Oregon is leading a national effort to protect children from chemicals in certain products.
Joel, it's called the Toxic Free Kids Act. It requires manufacturers to disclose and eventually phase out harmful chemicals that are known to cause health problems such as cancer, learning disabilities, and chronic diseases like asthma. Children and pregnant women are especially at risk. Oregon's law helped lead the way to new national laws, the first in 40 years. Implementation will be the next step and will take years. As new chemicals are identified in the Toxic Free Kids Act, we'll be posting them on our website. Our firm has worked to bring public awareness to lead-free children's toys and alternatives to pesticides in parks. Our goal is to protect Oregon children from harmful chemicals.
Thanks, Laura. To learn more about the Toxic Free Act and sign up to get reports on chemicals, visit CorsonJohnsonLaw.com. The Law and You is part of Corson and Johnson's work to make communities safer.
This is the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa. Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Twinsies!
I kinda love it.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you. Remember to download the GoDucks Game Day app on your smartphone's app store. Tickets in the app, Ducks news and social media, live game broadcast, facilities info, all part of the GoDucks Game Day app. We've been talking a lot about spring football. We'll get into more of that coming up throughout the weekend. I chuckle because I just saw Tammy say it had to be great to have a dry weekend for a change. That's true, except it's changing again this weekend. The forecast for when the Trojans are in town for Oregon baseball and softballs, of course, up in Seattle, rain is in the forecast. Enjoy the sunshine while you can, everybody. Enjoy the sunshine while you can. Meanwhile, though, I do want to jump into everything else that happened in Oregon athletics. Your Cafe AM 2-Minute Drill, as always, brought to you by Cafe AM. Let's start with baseball, a recap of what happened for the Ducks over the weekend. On Friday, a stellar pitching performance from Kenyon Yovan. Just an outstanding effort. Ducks lost 2-1 despite that great pitching performance. He held the Beavers hitless with runners in scoring position and with runners on. Difference in the game was a solo home run that Kenyon Yovan allowed. If it wasn't for that, well, Ducks probably would have won it. He did an outstanding job, but the Duck offense could just never get going against Bryce Femmel. And on Saturday, trying to salvage a game in the series, Todd Miles was getting things rolling for us. He called that game as I was rushing up from the end of the Oregon football spring game to get to Corvallis to call the baseball game. Literally, as I parked my car in the parking garage on the Oregon State campus, the Beavers had just scored another couple runs. It was early in the game, and Todd just joked and said, man, if I was Joey, I might just turn around right now. Well, I was already there, so I figured I'd head in. Now, it was a rough one, though. Ducks lost 12-5. And I think that it really wasn't that close. The Beavers never had to go to any of their good pitching, and the Ducks weren't able to get the bats going much at all on Saturday. So they're going to have a tough bounce back now. Just Portland on the agenda next on Wednesday, then they host USC on Friday, does the baseball team. Softball against Stanford over the weekend. On Friday, Miranda Ellish, I didn't think, was her usual lights-out self, but the Ducks still got an 8-4 win. Then Megan Kleiss was dominant on Saturday. Ducks won 4-1 on an unearned run. Yeah, and on Sunday, the Ducks got the win as well. Oregon continuing to look impressive. There's no doubt about that at James Sanders Stadium. Now the question is, how impressive do they look on the road against Washington? This is a huge matchup and one that I think everybody has had circled around the softball community for all season. Washington certainly looks to be one of the best teams in the country. as do the Ducks. They've consistently had two of the best RPIs in the country from the beginning of the season until now, and it's going to be a matchup of a pair of top five teams up in Seattle. That is a huge, huge weekend for Oregon softball, especially with Washington leading in the Pac-12 standings. Ducks going to try and pick up a few games on them. It starts at 5 o'clock on Friday for Oregon softball. Of course, with spring football and the festivities around honoring the military and everything else, as Jimmy Stanton, Senior Associate Athletic Director, he got his head shaved this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, for the St. Baldrick's Foundation. Good work, Jimmy. Looks great, by the way. Looks great. I'm glad that I didn't have to shave that head, though. That was definitely a positive for me. More on the St. Baldrick's Foundation and the Bald Fest coming up in just a moment. But anyway, for Oregon football, now with honoring the military and looking ahead to the fall, Ducks, no more spring practices. It'll just be the conditioning and a lot of those individual workouts that the Ducks do. That's what we'll be talking about over the course of the next, well, really, few months as we get ready for the football season to get rolling. For men's tennis, they lost at number 4 Stanford to move to 15-8 and 3-4 in conference, but then bounced back to beat Cal, so that evened their conference record. They got 16 wins overall. They finished 4th in the conference standings and secured a first-round bye in the Pac-12 tournament that starts late this week and runs through the weekend. Tons of athletes competing at the Mount SAC relays and elsewhere for track and field. It would take me probably the remainder of the show to give you the full recap of what happened for Oregon track and field. Full recap on GoDucks.com. Women's lacrosse put up a good fight against number 15 Colorado, but ultimately the Buffs outscored Oregon 8-3 in the second half to down the Ducks 19-9. With the loss, Oregon finishes the regular season 8-8 overall and 4-6 in Pac-12 play, and they will stay in Boulder as on Thursday they'll take on Cal in the first round of the first Pac-12 lacrosse tournament. I mentioned that St. Baldrick's Foundation Bald Fest. Another shout-out to Caitlin Wong of Oregon Soccer and the Oregon Soccer team. The championship game in the tournament that they put on as part of the Bald Fest actually went to extra penalty kicks between the Oregon Green Team and the alumni team. It was competitive. They were fired up. The alumni wanted to win. You could tell. Went to extra penalty kicks, and the Green Team won it for the current Ducks. It was awesome to see that as a way to kick off with the food trucks and all the festivities going on. It was a fun, fun deal, and about $40,000 raised for the St. Baldrick's Foundation, which focuses on raising funds to help cure childhood cancer. Awesome day. Just an awesome, awesome day at Pape Field. I had a lot of fun emceeing that event. And again, Caitlin Wong and Oregon Soccer for what they did and all the shavees. Of course, you shave your head in recognition and to sort of honor the kids who have cancer that a lot of them going through treatment won't have hair. You're saying, I'm standing with these guys. I'm choosing to stand with those kids. It was an awesome deal. Awesome, awesome event. Finally, for women's basketball, how about the team of Ruthie Hebert, Audie Gilden, Sabrina Ionescu, and Erin Boley? They went a perfect 8-0 over 2 days to win the USA Basketball 3-on-3 National Championship. Ducks took second at the event last year, and they won it pretty convincingly this year. Included in the teams that they beat was an NCAA All-Star team that included Notre Dame's Arika Ogunbowale, who Duck fans saw what she can do, and she hit two game-winning shots, one in the Final Four, one in the championship game for Notre Dame. Asia Wilson was on that team as well, arguably the best player in the country. And the Ducks beat them. That's going to be a fun team to watch next year. Women's golf and men's golf are in the Pac-12 championships today. We'll keep you updated on that as the week progresses, and might be talking about a fourth straight individual title in a tournament for Norman Zhang. That would be a new Oregon record, breaking his current Oregon record. He's got a very good chance of being the national champion and a very good chance of being a very, very successful PGA Tour golfer. We'll tell you more about Norman Zhang coming up later on this week. 2-minute drill brought to you by Cafe Yum. It was really more of the 6 to 8 minute drill today, but there was a lot going on. Brought to you by Cafe Yum, restaurants throughout Oregon and Washington, serving Northwest-inspired catering and takeout for your next gathering or meeting. Menus at cafeyum.com. Coming up, let's hear from CJ Verdell, Daywood Davis, and Kalana Apelu. Ducks talked with the media after the Oregon football spring game. A lot of good things for Verdell, Davis, Apelu, some positives to talk about from the Oregon football spring game. We'll take more of your Facebook comments and questions as well back after this on the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service, and they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies, and that's something you can always count on.
Western bacon cheeseburger, cheese bacon, Western bacon cheeseburger. I'm talking Carl's Jr., pick it up. Western bacon cheeseburger, Carl's Jr., pick it up. Western bacon cheeseburger, cheese bacon, Western bacon cheeseburger, Carl's Jr., pick it up.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics. This is the Oregon IMG Sports Network.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah, anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This broadcast of University of Oregon Athletics is authorized under rights granted to IMG College, LLC, by the University of Oregon, and is intended solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Any publication, rebroadcast, retransmission, or commercial use of the descriptions and accounts of this game or show without the express written consent of IMG College and the University of Oregon is prohibited. The announcers are selected by IMG College and approved by the University of Oregon.
Today's legal disclaimer was brought to you by Corson and Johnson Law Firm. In life as in sports, you have to enforce the rules to keep people safe. Learn more about how the law can help make our community safer at CorsonJohnsonLaw.com. The Corson and Johnson Law Firm is a proud sponsor of the Oregon Ducks. I'm Joey Mack, welcoming you back inside the Duck Store, where you purchase support the Ducks, past, present, and future. Recapping the Oregon football spring game here on Duck Insider, presented by Point Community Credit Union. Ducks, I think, showed a lot of good things. I think that everybody was happy with what they saw. David Davis, C.J. Verdell, each with a couple of touchdowns. Connor Pella with a defensive touchdown. He won't forget that one, especially when Justin Herbert was the guy running after him. Media had a little bit of fun with that. C.J. Verdell, David Davis, and Kalana Pelu meeting with the media after the Oregon football spring game on Saturday.
David and C.J., you guys watched a lot of members of your recruiting class contribute last year. What was it like to go out there today and join the party a little bit?
It feels great. I waited a whole offseason to show the world what I got, and that's what I did today.
Yeah, I like the second day, and it feels great to be able to be out there, you know, first real game out in Austin. Yeah, it just felt good to show the world what I got.
Lana, what was it like to make Justin Herbert look bad chasing you down?
I guess for the most part, it felt good. He always does it to us in practice. So, I mean, Justin's a great player. Happy to have him on our team, but for the most part, it just feels good to be back coming off an injury. You know, it hurts inside, obviously, and it's a long process. But for the most part, it was good. Felt good to be out there, like I said, and just thankful for these guys on my team right here.
Coach said he saw something, Lana, from you the last couple weeks that he felt like you kind of turned a corner and started feeling more healthy and contributing more. Does that kind of line up with how you've been feeling?
For sure, for the most part. Like I said, I mean, injuries are always hard mentally and physically. But, I mean, we got a great, training staff, treatment center, and try to make the most of it and trying to get back. But, yeah, just getting back into things with practice and everything, just getting back into football, getting my feet wet. I think for the most part, it feels good to be back out there.
David, you packed on some weight in this offseason. Could you feel that out there this spring and today and how it's helped your game?
Oh, yeah, it's helped me a lot. I came in undersized. I think that's one of the main reasons why I didn't get a chance to show the world what I had last year. But this year, came in spring, Coach Phil has a great weight training program. So came in, took heed to that, started eating more, drinking more protein shakes, and packed it on. Like, when I was out there, I felt like I was me. Like, I was had to do what I had to do. So it feels great.
David, did you have that celebration planned, or that just spontaneous?
I definitely had that planned. I told everyone I was going to do the shoot when I scored my touchdown, because in the locker room, cause we asked Cristobal, can you celebrate or not? He was like, celebrate. So I celebrated.
CJ, your group is very deep, very talented. How does that make you work harder to get your playing time in?
Oh, like you said, like, it's a deep group. Everybody's very talented, so it makes you want to work that much harder. You know, but we all, we're good. We're a close, tight-knit group, and we all want to see each other succeed. We always push each other to the limit.
What's kind of the quarterback battle like during the entire spring between Braxton and Tyler, two young guys? Obviously, Braxton got some experience last year, but what are kind of the strengths of each of those two guys?
That was a very close battle because, like you said, two good quarterbacks. From Tyler, he's young, but he can sling the rock. That's what I like about Tyler. He's not scared to throw it up. So that's a strength for him. And Braxton, he's a very, very good quarterback. You know, can scramble under pressure, throw a ball under pressure. I think that's his strength most of all. But most of this whole spring, it was kind of equal because both of them was throwing some good passes. But they had good days, bad days. But most of all, it was equal the whole spring.
Good insight from a guy in Daywood Davis, who those two quarterbacks were throwing the ball to all spring. One of them throwing him the ball for a lot of last year as well. I think that it'll be interesting to watch that battle. I think that they're different guys. You know, Braxton Burmeister's probably best when he's rolling and making plays with his feet and moving the pocket. And Tyler Shuck certainly looks like a guy that's got the big arm and the body where he can huck it downfield. Good stuff from Daywood Davis, C.J. Verdell, Kalana Apelu meeting with the media after the Oregon football spring game. We've also got Lamar Winston, Jordan Scott for you. We'll hear from them later on this week. Brady Breeze, Ugo Chukwu Amadi, and Tony Brooks James sat down with the media as well. But you hear the music. We're out of time on a Monday edition of Duck Insider. Busy weekend and a busy week upcoming for the Ducks as well. Tomorrow, Oregon Acrobatics and Tumbling head coach Keenan One will join us ahead of the national championship meets this weekend. And Mike White, head coach Oregon Softball. We'll hear more from Coach Cristobal as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Duck Insider.
It's Practical Poly Radio. I've switched to cooking with healthier oils. So now what do I do with all these tubs of lard? Skinny jeans feeling too tight? A bit of lard on your hips and thighs and those pants slide on like a dream. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
These will be a walk in the park.
Clean. Wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat foods.
Yep.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole.
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Hi, Mom. Is Claire's birthday party today? Me again, Mom. Where did I put my history book? Hi. Sorry, forgot one last thing. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate. At school, I start looking out the window, and then I forget what I was supposed to be thinking about. I know it seems like I don't care, but I do. It's just difficult for me. Love you, Mom. Bye.
Join parents and experts at Understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive. Brought to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
I rescued Toast from a shelter in 2011. I love Toast because she's a lazy diva. Toast does whatever she wants, obviously. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Toast, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon IMG Sports Network, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. A special thanks to University of Oregon Athletics Director Rob Mullins. Duck Insider is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.